Today I'll be talking about effective straggler mitigation using cloning. And this is joint work with Ali Godse, Scott Schenker, and Jan Stoica in the AMP lab at Berkeley. This work was motivated by the trend we saw, and it has been seen in other talks as well, of the predominance of small jobs in these clusters. Like, for example, in Facebook's Hadoop cluster, 82% of the jobs contain fewer than 10 tasks. And these jobs are mostly for interactive purposes, like some of the analysts trying to test small algorithms or different systems on small samples of data. And because of the fact that they're interactive and there's someone waiting, they're sensitive to latency in terms of when the job returns. And one of the important things that affects the latency of these small jobs is stragglers, or straggler tasks that run slower than the other tasks in the job. This problem has been, of course, addressed in prior work. Lots of people have built solutions for mitigating it. One kind of solutions that was built was sort of proactive, where machines were blacklisted using periodic diagnostics. And those with faulty hardware, like faulty disks or faulty memory, etc., were isolated and were not used for scheduling tasks. However, stragglers continued to occur on the remaining machines that were not blacklisted. So for these, what you would call non-deterministic stragglers, people started doing speculative techniques. And the speculative techniques were fundamentally born out of the fact that it was intrinsically pretty challenging to model the entire system. You know, I also saw this in Jeff Dean's recent talk that he gave at Berkeley, about how such a similar thing exists in the Google's search systems as well, in the sense that there's just so many things that are variable inside a system that, you know, trying to entirely model the whole thing could be pretty complex. So speculative techniques were suggested where, you know, you just identify the slow tasks and you schedule speculative copies for it, and it becomes a race between the original and the speculative copy. And I mentioned these two speculative techniques here because, you know, the late technique has been in deployment at Facebook, and the monthly work has been in deployment in Bing's cluster, Bing's Dryad cluster. But what we see is that despite these mitigation techniques in practice, in the Facebook cluster, say with late, the slowest task in a small job runs 8 times slower than the median task. And when I say 8 times slower, this is not due to data skew. This is just simply the rate at which the task is progressing. So this already accounts for data skew and eliminates it. The same cluster in Facebook's cluster, if MON3 were to be deployed, now the results are a little better, but for small jobs, the slowest task still runs 6 times slower than the median task in the job. However, what we see is that both these techniques do fairly well for large jobs. So the question was, we tried to see why does this happen. So at a high level, speculative execution techniques do two things. One is to wait, and you know, they try to observe the relative progress of the different tasks in a job, sort of build a model around what is normal, what is an outlier, and so forth, and then launch speculative copies for those tasks that are deemed to be slower and are stragglers. So, I mean, this seems fine. The question is, as we saw in the results, why is it that this doesn't work well for small jobs? This is due to two reasons. One is that the small jobs consist of just a few tasks. As we saw, more than 82% of them consisted of fewer than 10 tasks. The second one was that they run all their tasks simultaneously. By the very fact that there are few tasks, you know, they don't have to run across multiple waves. There are enough slots in the cluster for them to run all of them simultaneously. What happens is, since there are just a few tasks, and the techniques depend on some sort of prediction to identify the stragglers, this becomes statistically pretty hard, because you only have a few samples to look at. Or in other words, you know, to improve upon the accuracy, you need to wait much longer to accurately predict these stragglers. Waiting for these few tasks actually is kind of harmful, because the jobs are short and they are pretty sensitive to the latency. And since all their tasks run simultaneously, any sort of waiting here is going to have an adverse impact on how soon, how agile you are in addressing these stragglers. So what we learn here is that the reactive speculative techniques, which is to wait and then speculate, is ill-suited to address stragglers in small jobs. In response, what we claim, what we propose is to have proactive cloning of the jobs. Just as jobs are submitted, now you launch multiple copies or clones of this job and just pick the earliest one. And you know, obviously this would probabilistically mitigate the stragglers, and the probability of the job having a straggler goes down as you result the number, as you increase the number of clones. Now this is a pretty simple technique that you know removes all requirements for modeling, trying to intelligently speculate, do a causal analysis, and so forth. So one question that comes up when someone suggests like a technique like this is this even feasible? Do we have enough resources in the cluster to actually launch multiple clones of the job now? As has been seen in other work as well, one trend that's common across all these clusters is pretty high peak to average demand and hence utilization of the cluster. Like the Facebook cluster has a median utilization of less than 1/5. And of course, this is because of the fact that the clusters are provisioned for peak utilization. So at some point, even if it's short, the cluster does get completely utilized. But for other times, it just lies idle. Sure, one might argue that you know trying to now launch clones for it would now goes against the whole body of work that does energy efficient proposals in terms of turning off machines when they're not being used and so forth. But at this point, at least it's important to note that these energy efficiency proposals are not being adopted in today's clusters. I mean, there could be multiple reasons. Some of it has been documented in papers. Some of it is something we've talked to some of the data center operators. But one other thing I think it was brought up in yesterday's sessions as well was that the energy bill of the data center, it's mostly, there's like a significant fraction of it that is decided by the peak utilization. So as long as the peak utilization continues to be high, the amount of space you have to play with the energy efficiency proposals is fairly small. And the second one is the obvious, you know, hardware and software reliability issues when you turn off and on machines, and people are fairly nervous in doing it. So what we have today are that clusters are idle. So there is a fair amount of room that is there for us to play with cloning jobs and getting rid of stragglers. But this could, of course, lead to a problem of the tragedy of commons where you know everybody thinks the resources are free, so everybody just goes ahead and clones. And then what you have is a collective degradation of performance because everyone's now trying to use the cluster. However, this problem is not going to be a problem with our scenario because what we see consistently across three data center traces that we looked at, which was the Facebook, the Bing's Drive cluster, and the Yahoo cluster, is a heavy tail distribution or a power law in the job sizes. So this graph plots on a log-log axis, the amount of cluster cycles consumed by jobs on the x-axis to the number of jobs that actually fall in that bin. And a near nice linear fit essentially suggests the presence of a heavy tail. And what we actually see is that 90% of the jobs in the cluster, the smallest jobs, they use just 6% of the resources. So what this shows is there is sufficient resources for us to clone the small jobs using just a few extra resources. Now that we've established that there is a feasibility of cloning and there's some value for the fact that this might probabilistically mitigate stragglers, let's go about designing the system for how we're going to do this. A straw man that we came up with was that you know a job comes into the cluster. Now, say this one has two map tasks and one reduce task. So we launch multiple clones. In this example, two clones of the job. Pick the one that's earliest, and that's sort of what we pick as the result. Now, this technique was fairly appealing to us because you know it is incredibly simple to implement, and this directly extends to any framework. You know, it's transparent to any of the intricate details of the frameworks and so forth. But a problem with this technique is the number of map clones that it requires. This graph is plots the probability of the straggler in the job on the y-axis, how this probability decreases as we increase the number of clones of that job. And there are a few sample job sizes that are there in terms of 10, 20, and 50 tasks. And clearly we see that to get some sort of a reasonable guarantee that the probability of a straggler in the job could be low, we require much greater than 3 clones. And why I pick 3 is because that is the replication factor that's mostly used across many of the file systems that are there in place. So obviously, when you require more than 3 clones, and there are only 3 copies, then the map, the clones of the map tasks are now all going to contend with each other for the input data. And this is harmful because in a scenario that didn't have cloning, we obviously did not have this contention. And obviously, we cannot increase the replication factor of the files, because already we see that many of the clusters are having some sort of a storage crunch, and they're trying to do smarter replication schemes and so forth. Like the Facebook cluster has brought down this replication using erasure coding and things like that, I think, to 2.2. The Bing cluster has done the same and so forth. So why is it that this simple strawman job level cloning requires this high number of clones? Now, as some of you would have guessed, this is because of the fact that we pick a winner among a set of tasks. So we need all the tasks in that set to not be stragglers for us to get a winner or to have something with no straggler. The solution, obviously, is to go something fine-grained, where just as before when a job is submitted, we launch multiple clones of the two map tasks and of the reduced task. But this time, of course, we pick the winner from each of the task groups as such. And this does get rid of the problem of the number of clones that we require, where now we require much fewer than 3 clones. The graph on the right plots the one for the task level cloning of the number of clones that we require. I mean, 3 clones is plenty for most of the jobs to guarantee to give a reasonable guarantee of the probability of the straggler in the job to be low. So based on this, we built a system, Dolly. And this was named after the first mammal that was cloned was a sheep. And this performs task level cloning of jobs. And this works within a cloning budget of the amount of resources that Dolly can use for cloning jobs. Excuse me. Yeah. So we get to evaluating Dolly now. And the evaluation was done using workloads derived from the Facebook traces. This was data that was collected for over a month and over the Facebook's production Hadoop cluster, and had like more than hundreds of thousands of jobs in there. And the evaluation at this point was done using a trace-driven simulator with the baselines as the late system, which is what the Facebook trace already uses, and a hypothetical thing where if it were to use the Muntree system. And for both these speculative strategies, we also add a blacklisting strategy that does not schedule tasks on machines that are predicted to cause stragglers. And we use a cloning budget of 5% here. And with the baseline as late, this is sort of what the results look like, which is the y-axis is a reduction in average completion time for each of the bins of jobs, and the jobs are binned by the number of tasks they contain. Clearly, we see that small jobs benefit significantly, in that the most of the gains do come from the fact that the stragglers in the small jobs are kind of effectively mitigated. And the overall average completion time improves by over 40% here. And of course, as we had seen before, the job level cloning performs significantly worse than task level cloning here. And note that since this is a simulation, the job level cloning does not even fully model the contention that is going to exist when it requires that many number of clones. This trend in terms of the results hold when the baseline is now changed to Muntree, and that both, again, small jobs benefit significantly, and task level cloning performs much better than job level cloning, leading to an overall gain of over 40%. So this was good in terms of for us to have a potential that, you know, task level cloning has like, you know, a good chance of actually getting rid of stragglers and so forth. One thing that you know has not been addressed with task level cloning is intermediate data contention. Note that now we're picking the winner from each set of tasks. But ideally what we would want is every task to have its own copy of the data. Now we took care of this problem by moving to task level cloning so that now we don't have any input data contention, but what could happen is that, you know, the reduced clones could contend on the intermediate data. Note that intermediate data is not even replicated typically in most systems. So this is to avoid overheads. So I mean, of course, when a map clone does not straggle, its output is available for us to use. But when a map clone does straggle, this could cause a problem. Just illustrate this using this simple example, where it's the same example of before. There are two map tasks, and each of the map tasks are cloned two times. And the dotted blue ones represent tasks which, at this point, has not finished. And so what happens is when we spawn two copies of the reduced clone, now the orange one could actually take the available copy of the map clone. The question here is what happens to the other reduced clone? Which copy of the intermediate data is it going to get? Well, it could take a bet that it wants an exclusive copy and wait, which is probably fine if the map tasks finish quick enough. But if one of the map tasks actually straggles, then the corresponding reduced task is automatically disadvantaged and it's not going to win out. Its other option is also not great because it has to contend with the available copy. So I think one of the questions that remains to be solved here is what should we do and when should we wait for an exclusive copy and when should we just pick the available copy that's there and how long should we wait and so forth. And this is something that we're currently investigating. So to conclude, what we've seen is that stragglers in small jobs are not well handled by traditional speculation techniques. You know, guessing which tasks to speculate and you know waiting to generate a model, etc., is pretty harmful to these small jobs. We proposed a proactive and a simple technique which just clones the jobs and picks the earliest. And the fact that there is a strong power law in terms of the job sizes means that we can get away with a pretty small cloning budget, 5% in our experiments. And this leads to an improvement of over 40% in job completion times with respect to the current state-of-the-art mitigation strategies. In future, we also try to look at you know, whether there are other scenarios where one could use this combination of low utilization of resources and a power law in job sizes and see if cloning can be applied there. Thank you. I'd be happy to take some questions.
This is a question about the data sets. How big are these, do these jobs that don't have more than 10 tasks tend to be?
How big as in?
Yeah, how much data do they process?
How much data? I would think of, I don't know, tens of megabytes. I'm not entirely sure, but tens of megabytes, perhaps hundreds of megabytes, maybe, something like that.
Is there any reason why they all are done on a giant cluster as opposed to just run it on your laptop or desktop?
That's a good point, whether we could have an entirely new different cluster for the small jobs. I think people have looked at in terms of seeing the pros and cons of it. The cons is, of course, that you have to segregate something as which ones are the small jobs and the small data and so forth.
And
what if a large job uses multiple files, one of it happens to be a small file, which could also be used by a small job. So this segregation has its pros and cons in terms of static, you know, partitioning versus dynamic partitioning as well. So
I'm wondering if typical desktops and laptops are getting much more powerful than hundreds of megabytes and you know, tens of cores. So
true. I mean, so what I'm saying is the following: say you have you know, a file that is used by a small job, you know, which is fine. In which case, you should be running on your desktop. But the question is, if you do not store it in your cluster and you do not have it there, then the problem becomes: what if a large job operates on multiple files? One of which was the small file that you thought was just going to be used by a small job. then the large job now has to be on the cluster, which raises the question, where would you put this file, here or there? And I think people in Facebook and I know in Bing as well have tried to think about it, but there wasn't like a clear solution where you would draw the line. But that would be interesting to investigate. Yeah,
thank you.
Okay, Malte Schwarzkopf from Cambridge. So my understanding is that a lot of stragglers occur in MapReduce jobs because of imbalance in the input data size to tasks. Mm-hmm. But presumably this cloning strategy will not mitigate that because every clone will have lots of input data and hence every clone will run for a long time, right? Is there anything you could do to detect this kind of situation and avoid cloning in that case because there's no point in wasting the resources, right? Because they will all take a long time, right?
Sure, that's something we don't do. That's a good point, that we could try to detect and avoid cloning. However, what we have seen is that in the data we have, even if there isn't a skew, without the skew as well, the tasks have significant variation in the rate in which they proceed. When I said 8 times slower, it wasn't 8 times slower just in duration. It was 8 times slower by the metric that we had was input size over duration, or the rate of the task, if you would. So because of that, even without the data skew, there are other causes of stragglers that are there. So we decided not to do that because we wanted to catch those stragglers as well.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
I was wondering if you have any feel for what percentage of jobs submitted in the wild at Facebook or whatever actually are safe to clone? Because at some point, our scheduler, we thought about cloning jobs and picking the fastest one, and it turns out the jobs were doing Monte Carlo type simulations, so by picking the fastest ones, we were always introducing bias into the results.
That's a good point, in the sense that you're saying that if you pick the... it depends, right? It depends on whether the job finishes or not. Right? What happens is some of the jobs actually take longer to even finish. So it is not fastest in the sense that we pick the one among the set of jobs that I haven't finished. So among the ones that have finished, of course, then we're not going to introduce a bias. So this is about things that have finished, and then we're picking ones among them.